RTI.
Welcome back, boys and girls, to Postcard from Pop Rad, the irrelevant look at the news, or sideways look at the news, whichever way you want to look at it. With me, Eric Wiltshire, and over in the other side of the pond, it is...
me!
Lee Banks. You've already missed some good stuff. I did promise you we'll be talking about where to get your kit off, in a short while. We'll also be looking at why Google is actually not that good for the environment. It's not.
Did you realise that, Eric?
To be honest, Lee, yes, I did-ish, but I hadn't really looked at it in the depth that you've looked at it.
Well, that's it. See, what the clue was to me, I suddenly realised, right, cars are being blamed for destroying the atmosphere and causing global warming, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just suddenly struck me. Google's an engine, isn't it?
Ho, ha, ha, ha. Very good. Before we get to that bit, boys and girls, what was billed as the Muslims' world's first nudist hotel has been forced to close after just 6 days of being open, for goodness sake. The hotel...
It was 6 days.
Yeah. The hotel is out in Datça, which is known as the Turkish Riviera. Was actually closed by local authority after they found one of the balconies did not match the architect's drawing. They didn't care about the nudist bit. They just were worried about one balcony. Oh, no. Unbelievable. The hotel owner said he hoped to modify the balcony and reopen soon. Ahmed Kosar...
How does that work over there, then?
Well, they must have building regulations like everywhere else.
No, I don't mean that. I mean about taking your kit off.
Well, that's what surprised me. And it just appealed to me as a story because, you know, it's Turkey's obviously a Muslim country and we you know, lots of people there really respect the views of people. But the one thing I loved about it is it kind of said, yeah, have your own views, but also leave it. Oh, I've got a cup of tea, Lee. Guess from who?
Oh, aren't you lucky?
Are you going to say hello this week? She's just shaking.
To Petra. I'm not talking to that Petra.
She's just shaking her head, Lee. She's not going to... She's very good at this.
I'm not. Is she in a bad mood?
I think so. I think she's having one of those moments.
So she's a grumpy old woman?
Well, she's going through the change, dear.
What, yeah. She's in your pockets? Yeah.
Oh, dear. But no, I respect this bloke because, you know, in the middle of a Muslim era of the world, they're actually saying, come on, let's be liberal about this. Let's be sensible about it. And I think if there was more liberalism, more sense in the world, then we wouldn't have half the blinking battles we have.
Well, we've got loads of liberalism over here.
We have now. Yes. Yes, I like that one. What was it?
No, I like your sentiment on that, Eric. I think you're right.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking of which, I must move on to that quickly. You just reminded me, once upon a time, Lee and I were described as the Morecambe and Wise of radio. This week, the new Prime Minister and Deputy Prime Minister have also been described as the Morecambe and Wise of politics.
I don't think that's politically correct.
Now, all I can say, boys and girls, is if there's a resemblance between Mr. David Cameron and Mr. Nick Clegg and Mr. Eric Wiltshire and Mr. Lee G. Banks, then the UK is the UK's dead. That's for sure, absolutely. But I'll tell you what, Lee, Gordon Brown.
What? I know.
My goodness, I mean, there we were. I mean, and I'm not blowing our own trumpet. We actually predicted what was going to happen, and we got it 100% right, which is kind of good.
We did absolutely, yeah.
But when Gordon resigned, then his two kids come out, and he goes off to the palace and all this stuff, and I'm thinking, I actually feel quite sorry for the old boy, because you could see the passion in his face. And he was...
You could see he was upset. Yeah, he suddenly became a human being.
Yeah, now, if he'd have been like that all the way through, he'd have been a winner.
That's right, that's right. And the thing is, just remember, like, we've had the Lib Dems, we could have had the Lab Dems, we could have had all sorts. And what we've actually got is the Condems.
I knew you were going to do that. I mean, every top radio host has done that one. You're terrible.
No, but I'll tell you, something that struck me right away. As soon as we got this Tory and Lib Dem coalition government in, you know the first thing that happened? Immediately.
No.
Within half an hour of that, there was already a Scottish family unemployed and homeless.
Stop it. I have to say, though, there was... I have to say thank you to everybody in the UK for this, Lee, including you.
Oh, right, thank you. What were you going to say thank you to? You berated me all through the beginning of the show, now you're thanking me. Well, this is just bully.
I have to say thank you for paying your television licence. So thank you, Lee.
I'm not pursuing that.
Because... throughout the election thing, everybody around the world was able to log on to the election special on the BBC and watch the coverage of BBC News 24, which, of course, is just for the UK and not for everywhere else. And so we were able to watch the whole thing unfold with David Dimbleby at the helm as former PM resigned, and the new PM went into 10 Downing Street, and the picture of the Queen that was up there in seconds, and that was the moment for me.
Yeah,
that was the hot moment, because you've got David Dimbleby, who's quite an elderly gentleman now in broadcasting, and
very good.
Cool, not half. And one of his guests in the studio said, gosh, that was quick. They've got a picture of the Queen and Mr. Cameron already. And David Dimbleby just chirped up and said, well, they've obviously got a digital camera. And I thought, good on you, Mr. Dimbleby. Good on you, Mr. Dimbleby. That works for me. And he was so switched on to everything that was going on. I thought, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And you could see the
Why couldn't it have been a camera phone?
Well, it could have been, but the picture quality was a bit good.
So that would have been better. Digital cameras are passé now. They're in the past. People don't talk about them. Things, isn't it? So go and dimble yourself, Richard.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, this is intriguing. Don't forget, boys and girls, we will give you a recap on the competition starting next week, where you can go to the Big Apple, New York City. In fact, I love the Big Apple nightclub in New York City. If you win this, you got to go to the Big Apple nightclub in New York. It is amazing. Totally amazing.
And go to the Marquee.
Well, that's true.
Go to the Marquee.
So with the our friends from Nokia have helped us out with this one, and it's exclusively for RTI listeners. We'll give you the full details in a couple of seconds. Do have a pen and paper ready and get it written down. So why is searching on Google so tiring for the environment, Lee?
Oh, I don't know. I've wasted so long to do it. I forgot, because it's basically an engine, and it suddenly struck me. While I was pondering things as I do in my bath, I suddenly thought, Google's an engine, you have to service it. Then it turns out that actually you do.
Mm.
Because every time you make a search on Google, you damage the environment.
Yeah, but where does the research come from, Lee?
Out of my head.
That's no good.
No, it's actually research that's been done by Google.
So is it? Oh, it's on the blog spot
and related
thing.
Companies. Yeah. It's just it's a blog thing, isn't it? Google.
There's more details on googleblog.blogspot.com dating back.
I just said that.
Well, I've done it nicely. So here we go.
Said
then.
It nicely. I'm going to do my posh boys again. Then if you're doing it nicely, I'm going to do it posh.
My word. Port out starboard. Right.
Here's one thing that I found out, which I think is fascinating.
Go on.
Right? This is also, I think it's absolutely terrifying as well when you listen to this. Right. If all the people who search on Google, right, in 1 month, they use enough power, right, to actually keep a 100-watt light bulb going for 4,534 years. The government tells us to switch off the little red spot at the bottom of your telly.
Good grief.
Incredible. What about this one?
Oh, that's... Yeah, I mean, that is just earth-shattering in terms of...
Yeah.
I'm going to have to start. And I'll tell you another thing that we do, which is really bad, because all the new computers, you don't have to switch them off like the old days. You know, if you cast your mind back to Windows 95, or the first... That sort of area of computer, you had to carefully switch them off, park them properly, you know, do the whole process through. And we actually did switch computers off. Now, I do agree, before anybody technically pulls me down, computers at that time used to use more energy than the modern computer. But now...
Well, not according to this.
Well, now, on my the laptop I use now, I just shut the... I don't park it anymore. I just shut the lid down, and that's it. And it will stay...
How long can you leave it like that?
Days.
Really? It doesn't matter? I thought you had to switch it off.
No, you can leave it for days like that. And, then when you... Instead of going through all this rigmarole of rebooting it, which I know is the correct way to do it, I understand all the technicals. Don't tell me I know.
Eric,
the fact is, we just leave it all on.
We're supposed to be doing Google, not shutting your computer lid.
But there's a point. Then we use loads of power to recharge the battery, which has been going flat in the last couple of days, and then continue using the electricity to power the computer. So we're wasting all that energy. It's ridiculous.
We are. It's crazy. Yeah. This is a crazy, crazy world. Yeah. Here's another one. Just think about this one, right?
Yep.
Right? 1 month's Google searching equals a car driving 626,000 miles. That's how much CO2 is created. That's incredible. That's over 500,000 miles worth of CO2 just because people are looking at porn on Google.
That's ridiculous. That is totally and utterly ridiculous. And I have the trouble now is that so many people are manipulating Google. I mean, Google have changed the whole way that their what are called search engines, the Google search engines, work. The trouble is, there's already loads of people, because I get them on my email, explaining how to get round it all and fiddle it again so you can get to the top of the tree on Google. Blah, blah, blah. There's a whole industry built up of what is called search engine optimization, which doesn't tell me that the biggest site is necessarily at the top. It doesn't tell me that the most accurate site is at the top. And it also doesn't tell me that the information I'm reading on Google, via Google, because obviously they don't do it themselves, how do I know that's real and not somebody just pushing it up the tree?
That's right.
That's the problem. That's so there was a big... I think it was 2 years ago in the UK. There was a big thing that they looked to help young people understand that which was true and that which is not true via the internet. And they used the word internet, and what they were really saying was Google, because kids at school these days are told to go home and do their homework and do it on Google. Now, the Google is not the internet, boys and girls. For goodness sake.
That is a very good point. That's another good point about Google, which I thought we were going to come on to afterwards. But Google isn't the internet. People believe that Google is now the internet. It isn't.
Well, let me put this into context for people.
I do one of my fascinating facts first?
Go on, then.
In 1 month's Google searches, 1 month of Google searches produces as much CO2 as you would breathe out in 824 years.
Goodness sake. Well, let me put this into context for a couple of people. We'll do Central Europe, we'll use the word UPC, because that's one of the big satellite operators. You've got Sky in the UK, and you've got the Dish Network in the US. When people talk about satellite, they say the words UPC, Sky or Dish. That's not what they really are. They're talking about satellite television or satellite radio. But we don't do that. It's like the vacuum cleaner became the Hoover. And now the internet...
Or the Henry,
yeah.
Right, Henry.
Hello, Henry. All right, Henry. Splash it about all over, Henry.
Don't you take the mickey out of Henry.
No, I wouldn't dream of it. He's a wonderful character. And now we're at the point where the internet is... has got this de facto name of Google. Now, if you compare, boys and girls, the two, there's two really major search engines out there. One of them is Google, and the other one's Bing, B-I-N-G. Yeah. Now, Bing is the Microsoft and will be the Microsoft-Yahoo combined thing shortly. Now, when you look at the results, they're totally different on the two search engines.
That's a very interesting point, Eric. I must allow you to continue with this point.
It is absolutely crazy how the things work. And then you get another bunch of stuff in there, and I could tell you, but we'd take far too long to do it, but I could explain the whole thing and give you...
Don't worry, Eric, he's never bothered you before.
And take you through the whole step-by-step process of actually getting a website up at the top. Now, for me, And I might be naive and old-fashioned. When my other website, which I'm not... Well, I will mention, I'll give it a plug. MediaZoo.co.uk.
That goes onto TV.
Right. The MediaZoo... went up because it had traffic. And at certain stages in its life, that website has had 250,000 visitors a week. And it went to the top of Google. And that's its rightful place. If it's got 250,000 people that like it and use it regularly, it should be up the top. But if it had 20, it would be wrong of me to shove it up Google. Absolutely. I might wish to, but that's another story.
Here's another fascinating fact for you.
Hang on, I'm not going to do a jingle. Another fascinating fact from Lee Banks.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was a lovely jingle.
Thank you.
Right, you know when you have 12 numbers in a figure...
Right.
12 figures in a number, then. What does that make it? Is that trillions or billions?
Depends on whether you're American or English.
Well, we'll go for trillions because it sounds better.
Yes.
Right. All monthly Google searches create, and it'd be worth taking this to Aqua City, and Aqua City could tell us what this really means.
Mm-hmm.
All monthly Google searches create 260,60. That's 260 million, isn't it?
260 million, yeah, something like 260 million, yeah, 260 million, yeah.
Of grams of CO2.
That's 260,000 kilograms. Ow!
Work this one out. That is the equivalent to, right, you'll have to write this down, you'll have to tell me what it means.
Right.
136, 842, 105, 263... cubic centimetres.
Centimetres, right?
Centimetres of CO2. How much is that? Say that. Bet you can't say it. Well, I have no idea.
I have no idea either, but it's an hell of a lot more than I could ever think of. Indeed. Before I forget, boys and girls, we're going to give you a quick reminder of what's coming on RTI next week via postcard from Poprad. It's time to go gaga with RTI, exclusive to the RTI listeners from Nokia, our friends over there at Nokia. Now, make sure you listen in next week to be in with a chance to win a trip for you and a friend. It can be your partner, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, well, you could go with as well. To the
go with me.
No, you can't go. You're not allowed. To the Big Apple, which is, of course, New York City, to see Lady Gaga perform live. Wow. Nokia also giving you the opportunity to get a free celebrity gossip personality report. So this is your task, boys and girls. Last time I'm going to mention it. Bookmark www.rti.fm. Now, listen in next week for the full details, and you could, courtesy of our friends at Nokia, be off to the Big Apple, New York City, to watch Lady Gaga live. It's an exclusive competition to RTI, so good luck. Be back next week. Do not go away, and tell your friends as well. So
it's brilliant.
The only trouble is I'm torn. I've got a dilemma now.
Have you? Well, you could get a trust for that.
Yeah, but the trouble is, I'd like to go and see Lady Gaga in New York City.
I know, but we're not allowed to go, are we?
I know.
That's ridiculous. We're doing our best for it, and then we can't go. That's been like that all my life.
Have you been to New York?
I've been to New York. Of course I've been to New York.
Have you ever been to the Big Apple nightclub that's like on three floors?
No.
Yeah, wimp. Yeah, wimp.
Well, I've been to the Marquees. Now,
well, that's all right, yeah. And
yeah, that was
the nice tall building.
Groucho's over there. Have you been in Groucho's?
Yes, been in Groucho's. And what's that tall? The Lafayette building.
I've been there. I've seen it anyway.
Have you not been up?
I begged outside.
I think that's absolutely... Wow, it's extraordinary.
It's an incredible city. Did you go into the dangerous places?
Well, yeah, naive. I have to say Mr. Naive again.
Yeah.
I was in the Big Apple nightclub because we were working out there for about 3 weeks. And as you do, you come back from New York totally destroyed because you're just not used to the lifestyle. And so you're like, party, shower, work, sleep, get up, party, shower, work, sleep, on and on and on. And I thought, I've got to walk through Central Park because everybody says it's terrible. And I'd met some people, I'll just leave it that way, in the Big Apple nightclub. And I sort of wandered in there the next night, wondering if they'd still be around, and particularly one of them, as I was single at the time.
Were they of the female persuasion?
Yes. And very tall. And
don't be ashamed, Eric. Everybody in the life has a girlfriend.
Oh, okay, thank you. And she was more like the television Americans rather than the...
My wife.
Other than the other lot. She said, oh, have you had a good day, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so I've just been for a walk through Central Park. It's lovely. And she sort of looked at me. And it was before Mayor Bloomberg and that lot all took over, when it used to be apparently quite dodgy to go through there. And I do remember seeing on the television that, you know, people got killed in Central Park at night. And I thought, well, all I saw, perhaps it was my accent. Because I just sort of wandered through going, good evening, good evening, good evening. People were looking at me going,
because that would floor them.
Well, they looked at him and went, nutter! And we've got one over here, boys. He's the one that's on the bus with the tin of spam that says it's a bomb. He's the one. It's him. We found him.
They did. They thought, that must be the oldest rent boy in New York.
I was young then, boys. And, it was this bizarre look that they did. And this girl said to me, Eric, my love, you can't do that. Don't do it anymore. Blah, 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 blah. She was in a sort of panic situation. Okay. But it's only people, isn't it? You know, just be nice to them. No problem. Yeah. Anyway.
I think you've got a good point. I did the same thing in Needle Park in Madrid.
Did you?
That was petrifying. I didn't know it was called Needle Park. And I didn't know what went on there. I just thought I was walking through this beautiful old Baroque park. Yeah.
Don't you get pricked a lot in there?
Oh, Eric.
What?
That has so many different connotations. You can look at that in so many ways. You have to hush your mouth sometimes.
I'll wash my mouth out with salt. I have to say, we have to do a little bit of a congratulations job here. Yachtsman, Alex Bond, this is one of yours, Lee.
Well, I wish you'd have warned me before then. I was just about to do True Romance.
I will do that in a second. Item five, darling. Item five.
I've got to scroll through. Yeah, no, it's interesting. No, I like this, though.
Why do you like it?
It's got this great old-fashioned, almost Victorian adventure element to it. Mm. You know, and it's a real lost tribe of people who live for centuries on this island by themselves. But unfortunately, the crop, because of the way the land is, they couldn't grow any crops. So they were living off the fruits of the trees, stuff like that. And actually, they were like suffering from the equivalent to scurvy and all sorts. And this yachtsman, Alex Bond, I wonder if he's ever met...
I was going to say, here we go. Dun 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 dun.
That wasn't Bond.
It was.
That wasn't Bond. That was the thing. That was our Chaparral.
That was not. That was not. Oh, for goodness sake.
Anyway, he was having a little pot around. He's from Cornwall in Britain, which is a nice place to go if you've got nowhere else to go. And he was having a pot around the Pacific.
Yeah.
And he saw this little island. It was just a bit, to him, it was just a beautiful island. And so he thought he'd park up there, if that's what you do with your posh boat. he got out. And it's called Canton Island. And he found 14 adults and 10 children. Who was just managing to survive on basically a diet of fish and coconuts.
Gosh, that's
terrible. Well, he got there, he saw them, and they were suffering from scurvy. They were malnourished, and he phoned the Coast Guard in Britain.
Wow,
that's a long way from like Hawaii, isn't it?
Wait,
but he phoned there, who then got in touch with the Coast Guards in Honolulu,
right.
Who then sent out rescue. Stuff for the islanders.
Wow.
And our friend, I've got to admire him, Alex Bond. If we had a thing on our site where we could say Hero of the Week, I'd put him in there.
No, I think you're absolutely
Alex
right.
Alex Bond from Cornwall saved this island's population.
So there was 14 adults and 10 children lived out there.
Yeah.
And just on fish and nuts and stuff. Blew.
Fish and nuts, man. Yeah.
I know.
Well, to some people, but.
No, it's not. I know the feeling. Because
you've lived on fish and nuts.
Well, half a
let
lot.
The fish eat the nuts first, and then you'd only have to do one thing.
You just eat the lot. Yeah, the trouble is, I'm on that sort of fishy diet and all this other stuff and fruit.
Fish and fruit, man.
Yeah, I know, it's shocking.
That's good for you. How much have you lost? Have you lost anything?
They're 2 kilos.
2 kilos?
Yeah. 4 pounds in 2 weeks.
That's not bad.
That's dismal. That's dismal. But
yeah, but you don't really drink anymore, do you? I know you have your, like, moment.
No, don't drink.
Have you stopped smoking yet?
No.
I have an idea.
I'm working on that because I've ordered, and I will tell you what it's like, I've ordered myself one of those electric cigarettes that don't do the tobacco bit.
Oh, can you ride it?
No, dear boy, you stick it in your mouth.
I didn't think you stuck it anywhere else. I just asked if you rolled it.
I'll let you know how I'll get on with that, because if that works...
I have an idea. I'll do this with you if you agree to do it now in front of the ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no, I hate this.
I will give up smoking on air with you, and we will give a weekly report on how we're doing, but we can't lie.
I'd be a failure. I'd fail.
That'd be, I don't mind that.
I knew you'd be up for that. We're nearly at the end, boys and girls. I'll give you a quick reminder of the competition before we go. But this is... I find this despicable. World leaders nicking moon rocks.
I know! Nicking the moon!
How can you do
that? Are we supposed to trust our politicians?
But the trouble is, if they're nicking the moon, doesn't it get all smelly because they haven't got it in the fridge? Because otherwise it'll be cheese and it'll go bad.
That was a very childish joke.
Well, I am childish.
But no, actually, I did think of that, and I think you're quite right. If you've got a bit of the moon, stick it in the fridge, keep it healthy. But yeah, all these world leaders are mainly deposed dictators, right?
Yeah.
And what's described as aging government officials.
Yeah, right.
Or, very simply, crooked former bureaucrats. They've all gone, lost the jobs, and they've nicked the moon. There's 90 nations, like the 130 nations got bits of the moon,
right.
And 90 of them have had their bits of the moon nicked by corrupt officials. Can you believe that?
Well, yes, I can, because if they're prepared to pay £100 million for a Picasso, they'll get shed loads of money for a piece of rock that you can't actually guarantee came from the moon.
Well, you can, because it's got one of those little bits of paper with it.
So yeah, right. So like NASA said, hang on a minute, we've got to do this, so we'll just do that, and then we'll keep the rock ourselves. And then there'll be somebody else that... I mean, come on. Today, we've got scanning machines that can do all sorts of wonderful things to reproduce bits of document. Who's to say that the one that they got is not the real one, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, listen, boys and girls, we've got to go. Don't forget, next week, be back to join us to see if you can win that great competition with our friends from Nokia to go to the Big Apple in New York and see Lady Gaga live. See you then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Radio Tetris International gets on your wavelength. www.rti.fm